I wasn't able to make Kimon's memorial service, so I am delighted to be here. My name is Brian Culhane, and I was her friend and colleague at Lakeside School. The words of the poet are modified in the guts of the living, according to Auden, who also said poetry makes nothing happen. I think he was right on the first and wrong on the second. I think her poetry makes a great deal happen. It's happening today. And certainly, her teaching wrought a great change in her students, those lucky enough to have her. And I wouldn't want to leave the podium without mentioning what a wonderful colleague and teacher she was. Really extraordinary, as you might expect. I'll read two poems from her new collection, which is every bit as powerful as her first. And that's saying a lot. These are poems about hypothetical situations, almost like Borges visits Vietnam. The first is called In Which I Rewrite History to Include My Grandfather, which is just a great title, don't you think? Those missing years, the ones that separated him from us, remain a mystery. We know simply that he was captured, jailed with labor to make the economy new. I imagine him digging at infinite jungle, shoveling mud into more mud, skipping lunch to trade gossip and cigarettes with the guards. But my fantasies are cobbled from Hollywood and history class. No pictures, no records. We cannot even prove he was there. Fast forward to the place that we still call Saigon, loud horns and a million throaty motorbikes clogging the renamed streets. I am 23, and today is the first time we have met. He has my uncle's thick knuckles and my mother's round face, or they have his. And when we offer this familiar stranger our gift of 5 crisp U.S. hundreds, he jumps up whooping like a Christmas morning kid. My American fortune, he crows. I flip back through the few stories I have, try to see him younger, slimmer, in linen pants and angle-brimmed hat, a bricklayer's son with lofty ambitions, always in business, casting my grandmother's savings into a truck rental venture, a jewelry shop, a warehouse full of white toilets and sinks. Bend the path a different way, and he's standing beside us, blanketing my whole childhood in star-spangled dreams. Washington crosses the Delaware. Look for my grandfather, grinning near the gunwale, a bottle of tiger beer in his hand. My grandfather flashing a rascally thumbs up. A sailor grabs the nearest nurse's hips and leans in for a victory kiss. And when Apollo touches down, he's the full moon beaming, the round face pressed between Aldrin and Armstrong, the shuffle step looped jubilant around their dusty prints. Museum of the Almost. When I was reading this poem, I was thinking of that moment in H.G. Wells's Time Machine where the traveler who's in the far distant future finds this museum of his present, ancient now. So this is the Museum of the Almost. The marble foyer glitters with busted circuitry, charred black where the sparks fell. Machines underpowered and overwrought. top-heavy whirligigs, bottomed-out ships, almost the first to soar across oceans, almost the one that posterity chose. Midchambers showcase snapshots of ordinary people smiling with genuine effort, waving red ribbons, white ribbons, bronze medals, and silver trophies, admission letters to second-choice spots, all winners, almost. Names engraved below. Along the great hall, malformed fetuses stare from cloudy jars, double-headed, hands in the wrong places, eyes slit like frogs, talons for toes, attachments at angles, rounding the way only new creatures can, smooth-skinned, almost familiar. The tour concludes at a small dark door. You know what's inside. Your rumpled sweatshirt draped on the chair. Furniture you assembled yourself, cursing over cryptic instructions. Your lamp, your books, your music on the stereo. The singer crooning, almost, almost.